Tonight's meeting will now come to order. Madam Clerk, will you have a roll call, please?
Meeting of the Orange Grove City Council, March 25th, 6:30 p.m. Mayor Lopez.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Diana Garris Silva, absent due to school activity. Council members Josie Cervantes.
Here.
Gilbert Garcia.
Here.
Minerva Pineda.
Present.
Staff, City Manager Sam Escobar.
Here.
City Attorney Bianca Sparks.
Present.
Finance Director Lam Bui.
Here.
And Police Chief Marty Rivera.
Thank you very much. We have a quorum to do business. I'm going to ask everybody to please stand for the invocation, and I'm going to ask Councilman Garcia to lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord, to be gathered, Lord, in this meeting, Lord. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to make the right decisions tonight, Lord God. That will affect many, Lord, in our community, Lord, and help us to come together, Lord, in unity, Lord, to make the right decision, Lord, for our community, Lord. We thank you for your guidance, and we thank you for the peace you're going to give us, Lord. And we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm going to lead you to the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. Well, what will be on the agenda? Confirmation of the agenda?
No changes.
There are no changes?
No.
Okay.
There's a change.
There's a modification.
Yes, Mayor, Council, to the minutes of February 4th, we need to remove the name of the city attorney. She was not present during that meeting.
Okay. We'll do that. We didn't have a motion on that, do we?
Yeah. No.
Nope. We don't?
Then they make the motion for the minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, we'll go to C, presentations. Number one, presentation by Eliseia Torres regarding our home services. is she here today?
No, she's not.
She's not here? Okay, then we'll go to number two. Presentation by the American Legion Alta Post 19 regarding the Vietnam Veterans Wall. Gentlemen.
Good evening. My name is Joe Rivera and this is Frank Nunez. We're here representing American Legion Post 19 of Danubo. And the reason we're here is we were here at one time a few months ago trying to request some assistance from the city of Orange Grove to put for a donation for the wall, which is coming in at this time. We have made several changes. However, right now our tentative date for it to arrive is on April the 18th, which is going to come through Goshen. It's going to be escorted by motorcycles, and it's going to go to, it's going to take a route through Kingsburg, Selma, Cartier, Ridley, Orange Grove, and then into Danuba at Danuba Memorial, Veterans Memorial Building. And again, the reason we're here, we're trying to update you on the date that that's coming in, and once again requesting if there's some financial assistance can be given to the wall, because the wall is not actually Danuba per se, it is the state of California and also the San Joaquin Valley. This is the only wall in the Western Hemisphere. There's three other walls, the original in Washington, D.C. There's a wall that was built in Oklahoma. There's a wall, that also replica, that was built in Texas, and this be the fourth one in the United States. So in that sense, you're talking about it. We're making history at this point in time. So we need everybody's help. And so that's the reason we're here, just to let you know about the wall. It's the full cost of it is $177,000. However, it's going to cost a few more dollars because we need a fence. We need some doors that need to be put up. So we're hoping that possibly when it gets here, people will see that it's here and they can see it's going to be here. And maybe at that point in time, people will see that it is something realistic they can look at. And Mr. Nunes.
Okay, let me tell you a bit about myself. I'm Frank. I was born here and raised here in the valley, actually in Wrigley. I'm one of four members in our family that served in Vietnam. My brother Joe, he was in the Navy. My brother George, he was Navy SEALs. I was in the Army. My other brother was in the Army. And we all lost some people, some good friends. And it's my personal belief we need to bring a little closure to their families, to the loved ones that are left behind. I have a friend that he died 1 week once he arrived. Didn't even know his wife was pregnant. Now that individual, that kid, is lost. we need to help. I think we need to help everybody. Yes, we are asking for donations. We also take donations from individuals, not just the city. Okay? So find in your hearts to do something, please.
Just my last note, just to let you know, as you're probably already familiar, is that there's two individuals in that wall from Orange Cove. One of them is Mr. Nicholas and Bobby. I went to high school with them because I was raised in Orange Cove. I retired from the Marine Corps. I also retired from the U.S. Postal Service. And there's also another person, Mr. Garcia. He used to live over here on 3rd Street by the church. And there's another person, he's not on the wall yet. It's primarily because Major Beach, he was shot down. He was shot down in his helicopter next to the Laos. So they haven't found his remains. So he's still MIA. So they can't bring any closure to him until they find his remains. Sometimes through Congress, they can pass a certain law or amendment where they can place him on the wall. But since he's still missing, they won't do that. If the city council have any questions, please.
Council, any questions pertaining to this issue?
Well, I think it's good what you're doing. I mean, bringing that, because a lot of people can't travel to the capital, you know, to see that. And to you to bring that so close to here, I mean, we're just, 10 minutes away. It's great. I mean, it's awesome that you're doing that.
Thank you. I don't even mention, there was 58,363 kill in action there. However, we found out through our research and going, there's more than that. There's people that were hurt and badly wounded. They went to Guam, Hawaii, and they passed away there. So the death toll is much higher than that. My understanding is around 63,000. So it's quite a number. It's quite a number. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Sam, and Mr. Escobar?
I just want to ask, what other cities have actually donated for the wall?
There's been a number of City of Dinuba, City of Kingsburg, City of Parlier, and we're still working with Sanger right now. The Chamber, Orange Cove Chamber of Commerce donated. So there's quite a few individuals, and we're hoping we get some more corporations to donate. Okay. Wes Isaac Construction Company out of Reedy, they donated. So.
Yeah, the Dinuba City Council, they donated 5,000. They're the ones that got started and from the get-go. And we've got a few other larger donations from City Council members out of Dinuba. And the last one was also 5,000 from Dr. Tushu, but however, I don't know how it's going to work out since he's being sued right now, but nonetheless, that's another matter. But see, he was still good. He's still giving us his donation to us. We're hoping that possibly other cities will get involved. We have already gone to Fresno. We've gone to different organizations such as we've gone to the American Legion in Fresno. We've also gone to the Marine Corps Association, and we also go to the Purple Heart Association, since I'm a life member of the Purple Heart Association, so we went up there and they also gave us donations. We also got donations from ROC, from they don't have a city, a city hall, but they do have the Kiwanis, and they donated money. Lions Club. We went to the American Legion up in Selma. They donated to us. So did the city. So did the city of Reedley. So they all around this area, they have all given something to us. And the last time we were here, at that point in time, you guys weren't ready to, extend anything to us. But however, we're hoping at this point in time that you can. And if you can't,
yeah,
our
prayer is just as good.
Yeah,
same. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. If I may say something, if you guys heard the news, that American Legion, that the main board is coming to Sanger, and they're going to be a big help for our cause here.
Yeah.
And if I may add, there's some literature we send in 2 sheets of paper. On the second page, we have a web page. If you can please take a look at it and, speak, and you have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And we just take it, okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Sam?
I think, Mayor, this is something that we can bring for the council's consideration at the next council meeting. I'll work with our city attorney on putting some together for consideration.
Okay. I want to thank you for your excellent job you're doing, and Orange Cove will make your contribution.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, I thank everyone, and you guys have a good work here.
Thank you.
Oh, she's like an idiot. Okay. All right, we're going to go to E, City Council Successor Agency Consent Calendar.
Public forum.
Public forum.
Public forum.
Oh, I'm sorry. Public forum. Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to address the city council on the items that are not already on the agenda? May do so now. Mr. Ferrer?
Emmanuel Ferrera, 404 D Street here in Orange Cove. I brought it up to the council's attention a couple of times already, and I'm going to do it again for the skateboard park. We got to get those signs up there. No smoking, no liquor. With a lot of smoking is going to be hard to do, but no liquor and no drugs. And there's a lot of that going on out there. I see them carry out the six packs when we go in there to lock it up, and that just don't go with me. And somebody's got to do something, okay?
I'd like to address you, Mr. Ferrer, that I was very fortunate yesterday to get the okay from SARE. They are going to be providing us two employees, and the employee that he's well respected. This young man was a businessman here. He was a farmer here and east of Reedley. You know this young man, and they're going to come and meet with Sam and meet with with Sam, and so you can meet this individual. But he's highly recommended, real respectful. He was a businessman, you know, but you know, due to the drought, it really hurt him. So, but he's been accepted by the program. So it's just a matter of our city manager. Getting that proper application field and meeting with the director from SARE, Becky Mendivas. But that's going to happen. And they start as soon as you okay it, he's ready to start.
Okay.
And I think just for a point of clarification, what the mayor's done is working with SARE. They're trying to get us somebody to be out on site.
Right.
For help make sure they're supervising the facility, make sure there's minimizing, you know, vandalism and so forth. So that's what he's doing, is working through SARE, and they're going to provide somebody from where
the first one, I asked for two, so they can be two shifts, okay, so that when you close, there's somebody there. And I would also like to see if the chief could meet with this individual, because I think that he should communicate with the police department.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, but you're going to be very, very proud of this young man. He's in his 40s, but a very respectful individual, from Orange Cove, born in Orange Cove, okay? So tomorrow I'll make sure that they're here, and if Sam can meet with him, and the chief can meet with him. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else in the audience that wishes to address the city council, please do so now.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Tom Green with Orange Cove Fire. Since our fire commissioner failed to mention it, I'll come up one more time. Thanks, Manuel. Thanks.
All right.
Saturday night, volunteer firefighters dinner dance fundraiser. Very important that the community comes out and supports us. Our association needs this money to buy stuff that the district cannot afford to buy. So we're asking for your help, asking for your support. Come on out and have a really good time with us, okay?
We're gonna be there. My family will be there, and hoping that the council can be at this dinner. And our whole community, this is something that all of us appreciate and admire. Our fire department, they're doing a fabulous job. Anybody else in the audience? Okay, being that, then we'll go to the E, City Council Successor Agency Consent Calendar. Mr. Escobar?
Mayor and Council, we're just asking for Council to approve the consent calendar as it stands.
Council, any questions on the consent calendar? These are some of the issues that that they've been, I reviewed them thoroughly, and I believe that that is something beneficial to our city. The actions of the consent calendar are all in benefit to the city of Orange Cove. You know, one of them that I'm very proud of is the 180 some units that were going to be, they're going to repaint them and put, I think, some what energy conservation on the roof, right? So I think this is something that the community should be real proud of, that they're going to redo the whole apartment units and they'll look beautiful again. So is there any questions, Council? Okay, we need a motion to approve the consent calendar as presented.
I make a motion to approve the consent calendar as presented.
Good. We have a second?
I second that motion.
We have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, June?
Yes. Motion for the City Council Successor Agency Consent Calendar approved by Lopez, Garcia, Pineda, and Cervantes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is that it, June?
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, now we'll go now to Administration F, City Engineer. Subject, consideration of a resolution vacating various alleys and streets, right-of-ways, public units. Mr. Horn.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the Council. This item before you tonight is a resolution to vacate certain alleys and street rights-of-way that are no longer used for either vehicular or pedestrian purposes. There is should be maps in your council packets, and I'd be happy to go through each one if you would like me to, but if not, and if you have any specific questions about a particular area or question, I'll be happy to answer that. This is a public hearing, so once I'm finished, it would be appropriate to open the public hearing. And then closing that, we're recommending that you adopt this resolution, which will vacate the right-of-way and any part that's vacated, a street or an alley, half will go to each property owner on either side. So the ownership will transfer, fee title ownership will transfer to the adjacent owners. There are some areas where there are existing sewer, water, gas, or electric lines. And in those areas, we're vacating it for a street, but we're retaining a public utility easement for all of those purposes. And we've sent letters to every property owner that is adjacent to the right-of-way. Notices of this public hearing were published in the Readily Exponent as required by law. And the actual right-of-ways were posted with notices physically, a little state with the paper on it, telling people that the council was going to be hearing this item tonight. And I think that concludes my report. And
okay.
I'd be happy to answer any questions on any of the areas.
Was there any protest?
I received a couple calls, and I talked to a couple property owners when I was posting the notices. And they just wondered what would happen if the council approved it, and I explained that the ownership would go half and half. So they seem to be pretty satisfied.
They understood that. Mm-hmm. Okay, Council, any questions to Mr. Horn before we go to public hearing?
Mayor, and Council, also get Mr. Horn, also that we had this item on the agenda for last night, the Planning Commission, that was also approved by the Planning Commission as well.
Okay.
And we did not have any protest there at the Planning Commission meeting. So
great.
It was approved by the Planning Commission. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
There's no question by the City Council. I'm going to open up the public hearing. Is there anybody in the public that wishes to address this issue? Please come forward now. Okay, being none, I'm going to close the public hearing. Council, we need a motion to approve.
I make a motion.
We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
We have 2 seconds. All right. So all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, June?
Yes, vote Lopez, Garcia, Pineda, Cervantes, absent, Silva.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll go to Finance Director number 2, subject presentation, discussion regarding the monthly financials of February 2015.
I printed this out and give each of the council members
yes.
a copy. It's a one-page picture graph.
Yes.
The first chart is the general fund. You know, back in May of last year, we budgeted revenues to be $2 million. So far, we received $1.2 million. With the general fund, is the timing of the receipts. We only get most of our money in December and in May. The second part of the chart is the expenditures. We budget $2.2 million. We're already at $1.7 million. About 65% of that is related to public safety costs. And I'm projecting we'll be at $2.4 million at the end of the fiscal year. And I'm going to have the chief come up and discuss some of the costs that he had incurred within his department during the year. Chief, you want to come up?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Basically, we're pretty much on track where we thought we would be. Some of the costs that we have not, some of the things we figured on that have not transpired is the domestic violence grant that we expected to have renewed was not renewed. What we've done already is we've already put the domestic violence investigator into just patrol position at the patrol salary, and taken the car so that we can do some money saving in that regard. As far as the explorers, originally we had talked to the principal of the high school, and they were going to be funding the uniforms for the explorers. Later on, they backed out on that. We took our explorers across the street to the community center, and they asked us to come back, and again said they would fund it, and now again they backed off on that and said they never made that promise. So what we're going to be doing is I've advised the explorer coordinator to start doing some fundraising. There's going to be a lot of events here in the summertime here at the park, and I said let's get a booth up and let's try to recuperate some of that money. Another big expense we've had is car repairs, which we've talked about before, and that has kind of put us in the deal. In the month of October, we had a large expense because we had the investigation regarding the theft of money from the evidence, and that to us that cost us pretty close to 10 grand right then. And then we've had a month of January, we had the communication, the contracts for communication for dispatch and stuff. That's when they all came. We got billed a couple times, a couple of different, the month before they hadn't billed us, so they double billed us for the month of January to cover the month of December. And their workers' comp stuff has gone up. Although, as far as the expenses, we're still averaging about $120,000 a month. That's what it comes out to right now. And we project that we're going to be spending about $1,440,000 for the year. I think we have budgeted $1,400,000. So it looks like we are going to be going a little bit over, but hopefully we'll be able to cut some of that back in the next couple of months, and hopefully we'll get under the 120 again and save some of the money. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Council, any questions for Chief? I need to report on the expenses.
I'm not done, but the ADA center is costing us $4,000 in energy costs each month. So we're looking at using the RDA unspent bond proceeds to fix up the ADA center. Now the water fund, we budget
Does any council have any questions on the general fund stuff? I know that's our biggest concern that we have on general fund, as far as what we have so far for what we budgeted and what we're spending and our projections to the end of the year.
So we're projecting to that's all of the categories is 3.869238. That's all the department, the water, sewer.
No. That's the reserve money.
That's just the reserve money?
So just if you look on the first page,
total
general,
reserve.
General fund analysis, we budgeted $2.27, almost $2.3 million in expenses for the fiscal year. We're already at 1.73. We're projecting for the end of the year to be at $2.4 million in expenses.
But that's not including the purchase of the car. what else, the cameras. So those aren't in here yet. So depending on when we get funding, what year is going to get paid. It could be next fiscal year or this fiscal year.
So where are we at right now with the total?
1.7.
1.7.
Right now.
And expenditures up to, this is up to the last month?
February.
February.
Mm-hmm. And we budgeted?
2.2, but I'm projecting 2.4 by the end of fiscal year.
So you will be going over 200,000 at least?
400.
400?
Yeah, because our revenue is only $2 million revenue. So
okay.
In our original budget, we have we had $200,000 that we had to take out of reserve to cover the, to balance the budget. But because we've had unforeseen expenses and then, you know, we're looking at cameras. Actually, the cameras are one that we're going to be talking with our city attorney about paying with our RD proceeds as well, because it's a capital improvement for the park. But the cars is one that we didn't have budgeted for. So that's, and then other expenses that come up that weren't projected.
Now the reserve, the total reserve, is that, that does that encompass all of the money that's coming in Texas? Sales tax,
that's
property
in
tax?
A separate account. That's in, okay. This is just the our savings.
Only our savings.
Yeah, the 3.8 okay. And 2.5 is general fund.
Okay.
In our operating, which is where our water receipts or sewer receipt utility payments comes in, and you know, we get some money from the county and state. That goes in our operating fund. And I think in the other report, I think I have about 700,000. But that goes up and down because of our, we have to pay our bills.
Yes, yes.
So, but I think to answer the question, Mayor, in our reserve, for just general fund unrestricted monies, we have $2.5 million in our reserve. The rest that you're showing with the 3.8, so there's 16,000 if you see in that bottom right corner reserve breakdown. That's 16,400 for water restricted. Sewer, we have 778,000 in reserve for sewer. And the other one is other restricted funds of 528,000. So total we have 3.8, but just general fund unrestricted is $2.5 million.
Okay.
Is there any other questions? If not, I would like to have finance director continue with the water fund.
Any question on the general fund? So what exactly are we doing to make sure that we don't keep growing? You said 2 million, we're at 2.4. Can you explain to the council, to me and the council, what have you done so that to hopefully alleviate this? there's no other funds that aren't coming in other than what we've already projected.
Well, as staff, we've been looking at all contracts, agreements that we have, consultants, and looking at ways to reduce things that we might not need. So we've done that a lot of that already because we've. Like I said, since I started 3 years ago, every year we've been able to cut about $600,000 to $700,000 out of our expenses. So now we're just looking at all the other. Now we're just kind of going through with a fine tooth comb, looking at all the other expenses that we have, but also taking consideration for this next year. We just passed our tax measure.
Right.
That's going to give us another $160,000 to $170,000, and then plus that we refinance RDA. Bonds that we did for 3 years, we're topping for the next 3 years. We'll receive an additional $68,000 of tax revenue for ourselves for property tax. So that puts us at about $220,000 to $240,000 in extra revenue that we haven't seen this year yet, or we haven't seen in the past. So that's going to bring us to for this 15-16 budget year where we can be balanced under our current situations, unless we have some other unforeseen expenses, some emergency that comes up, or other expenses that were not projected in our operation with our departments. So for this next fiscal year, we've already started looking at some of the budget cuts, our finance director and I with our department heads, and our goal is every year to try to reduce between 5-10% on operational cost and really be mindful of the way we operate as a city, whether it's buying equipment, supplies, and really be more efficient in the way we operate. And that's kind of what we've been doing now before we actually start affecting employees. So, but we feel confident that this next budget year, 15-16 budget year, that we'll have a balanced budget.
Now, this reserve, does it include what some of the development that we're doing now? Maybe?
No.
It doesn't? Okay. Because I know those fees that are going to be coming in
Has it increased the reserve because of the...
No, they go into the operating.
So we have an operating cost?
We're hoping by the end of the year, we're going to put, depending on how much cash we have in operating, that we could transfer some of the money from the operation to the reserve.
At about $400,000 is what we're projecting to the year to put back into the reserve from operating cash.
Okay.
And yes, Mayor, like you said, all these projects that we're doing, like the apartment complex that they're doing retro, they're spending about $7.4 million on just construction costs, plus another $1 million in solar panels that they'll be doing. And so that's, you know, we use our permit system based on valuation. There's certain things we can't charge permit for, but there's still going to be a pretty significant permit fees for that project.
And that's all general fund money.
And that's all general fund.
Okay.
Mayor, I have a question.
Yes.
On your general fund, the 2.5 that we have. Is that already including the $400,000 that we're going over budget? Has that been removed from that?
That's been removed.
Yes.
So that hard cash that we have
yes.
for the remainder of the year.
I'm going to move on to the water. Water revenues, we budgeted 1.1. We're already at 1.8 million. That's because I didn't budget for the $252,000 in USDA money that we received to purchase water. But I'm projecting that all the money is going to come in for revenues. And the expenditures were at $826,000 of the $1.1 million that we budgeted. And again, we used that money to already, we already purchased the water with that $252,000 grant.
And that was for the cost of the $400 an acre foot of water from May, June, July, and August that we had to pay for this last year.
Any questions on the water fund?
Council, any questions on the water fund?
And then moving on to sewer. Sewer, I'm projecting we're going to receive our money that we budgeted. I budgeted $698,000 in revenue. So far we received $468,000. And expenditures were already up there because of the sludge removal project on the Manning Pond. So we spent over, I think, $200,000 already. On removing the sludge from the Manning Pond. So we spent $545,000 of the $668,000 we budget. In sewer fund, I expect to have an operating loss, but they have money in the reserve. Any questions on the sewer fund?
Council, any questions on the sewer fund?
So by the end of the year, we should be okay as far as that then? Or I mean,
we're operating at a loss, but the sewer fund has money accumulated over the year. So like if you see on this chart right here, they have $778,000 in investment.
So when you're already spending, basically it comes out of that fund.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we're basically, and the reason we say it's operating at a loss is because revenue coming in and expenses yeah. going out is more than what we're receiving. So then when you go and dip into a reserve, and these are projects that are mandatory, that we have to come up and repair. So that's what the reserve fund is for us to do these capital improvement projects.
Yes. Okay. Very good.
Any other questions?
Any other questions, Council?
And this was only an informational item only. Okay. So we wanted to make sure we focused on the three major accounts, general fund, water and sewer funds for the council's update and information, and also the reserve accounts.
I know we have our principal from the Orange Grove High School. I was wondering if you had any statements concerning the new cadet program.
The Explorer. I'll get together with Chief and go over that.
All right, thank you, sir. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. We'll go to City Manager's Report. Orange Grove Area Chamber of Commerce Blossom Trail events consideration of the following. A. Park Street Use Agreement with the Orange Grove Area Chamber of Commerce for Blossom Trails event. B. Resolution approving a request for a fee waiver of the Orange Grove Area Chamber of Commerce Blossom Trail event. Mr. Esquire.
Mayor and members of the council, we're bringing this for your consideration and approval of an agreement for the event that's being requested by the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce has had this
event for multiple years now. It's a great event for the community. They bring lots of crowds in, great for families. And so what we've done is actually have an agreement that we put together with our city attorney to help protect us from any lawsuits, so, you know, eliminating our risk from this event. So we're also, part of this agreement is agreement and then also resolution to waive any of the fees that we would normally have for an event, which would be like the insurance fees, a deposit for that we would normally ask for. So we're asking for the waive of that, of any fees that we would have for this event. So this is for council's consideration.
Okay, council, any questions on this issue?
How much is the insurance fee?
The insurance normally costs, it all depends on how many vendors they get. So we do, we've done in the past, historically, it's been between $600 and $700. It could go up to $800. It all depends on number of vendors and then the type of vendors that we have.
Now, don't the vendors have to pay for their permit, though?
I'm sorry?
The vendors, they actually have to pay their own permits, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, so they'll still follow, if you see the agreement, they will still, like all the vendors will have to follow all the rules and regulations. If they're food vendors, they'd have to follow the regulations by the Fresno County Department of Public Health and so forth. And one of the things that we're doing in this as well is one of the exhibits, you'll see we're asking all the vendors to, the organization, the Chamber of Commerce, to have every vendor fill out an identification form, which is Exhibit C, the Hold Harmless Agreement.
Council, any questions on this request from the Orange Grove Chamber of Commerce?
Do we have the revised version with mm-hmm. the number of fees? I don't have that. I think the council has it.
Yeah, they have.
So we estimated the event cost to the city is about $2,400. And so that's what the chamber's asking to be waived, the fees that associated with that. So that's a set of fees, so for our staff members to be out, and we block the roads. You know, we've set up all the records the night before, the morning we come and block the roads. We'll have one staff member at every event for, there's always something that comes up or electrical goes out or something, we have somebody there, and then plus the insurance fees.
Council, any comments on this issue?
I think it's an event that draws a lot of, I know draws a lot of people, and I know the vendors that are there. It's a lot of community churches, not only churches but also, you know, schools that do fundraising, and it's important that we have an event like this, because, you know, a lot of times that's how they make their money, the funds is through events like this, and I think it benefits everybody. It benefits the schools. It benefits the churches. It just benefits the whole community as a whole. So I think it's a good idea, and I support this.
Okay. Council, this is an event that all of the cities in Fresno County undertake, the Blossom Trails, and here in Orange Grove, the Chamber is the one that spearheads the event, and I think it's something that we should support because of the community spirit that is in this event, that we should, you know, appreciate it and support them on this issue. So we need a motion to go ahead. Oh, is there anybody in the audience?
I just have one question.
Okay.
On that 2,700. Okay. Mark Villarreal, Events Committee. Sam, that 2,400, does that include the rental of the park? So is it less, or is that just for personnel?
Just for personnel that we have. And
okay.
Then also plus the
I thought you were including the whole thing. Just so it's actually 2,400. That's going to be spent, you know,
yes.
In facilities.
Yes. Okay. So actual direct cost.
Because you're still waiving facilities too.
Yes.
Okay.
And one of the things that the chamber is doing, just for the council's information, is they're asking all the vendors to that are actually coming into the event to bring their own tents. So therefore, minimizing the work that we have to do as a city to bring up our tents that are pretty difficult to put up. So that's something that they've been working with us, and I think pretty much most vendors are complying with that.
Yeah, they are. I've got no request for tents yet. And I don't know, it looks like we're going to have less vendors this year than we've had, so far there's not many, but you never know until the last minute they come flying in.
Well, they've been real successful. You've been real successful as far as the event, itself. So I don't see why the people wouldn't want to participate on this event. It's good for everybody.
Good for everybody, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it passed?
Oh, I think she wants to speak.
It's public comment, ma'am. It's public comment.
Oh, it's public comment.
I think she wants to speak, I think.
All right. Let me finish. I'm Manuel Ferrero. I just come up here to thank the council for working with the chamber. Appreciate it very much. And I would like to invite each and every one of you and the city attorney, everybody, the public, everybody to come out and have a good time that day. Okay?
Thank you very much. Okay?
Good evening, and thank you, Mayor, for saying Lopez. I haven't heard my maiden name in I don't know how long. I told my husband when I met him, Mrs. Lopez. But I want to commend the council that was at the chamber award dinner. I really enjoyed it. I didn't get to go over there and talk. We were just running all over the place. This is my first time being on the Chamber of Commerce, and it's a lot of work, but I'm glad that I got involved. But one of my questions that I had is that I did happen to see, I don't know if it's a contract or what it is, because it looked like it just had blank spaces and then you kind of fill them in, and I'm not sure what it was, what I saw. But I did see a lot of changes as far as requesting, like you said, the insurance, and then there was also some fees for the tents. And then there was like $1 million or $2 million worth of something that needed to take place. But what concerned me was that, like, you're going to waive it for us, but there's a lot of people that use the park. I know I enjoyed last summer the movies and the park thing that they had. And there was a lot of people, but I did enjoy it. And then there's churches also that use it. So is that same contract going to be for everybody to follow whenever they use the park? Because I did notice there was quite a bit of changes. I mean, to me, they're really major changes that I don't know if everybody is going to be able to comply with them. I mean, thank you for letting us have this here, because it is something that we try and do for families, and we do want to do more things. I've had a lot of people say in the past that the chamber just got together and all they did was eat. And I'm like, well, I don't know about that, because I don't know about the past. I just know that right now we really are trying to do something. So we had the Christmas contest, and we go out there, visit the stores. We're doing it for scholarships for these children, and we're trying to do the best that we can, but we really need a lot of help. But one of my concerns was that if that contract is for everybody, I think it's going to hurt a lot of people.
Well, the thing is, with the events that we have at the park or the city, it's through the event committee. The event committee is a committee that was established by the city council, and these folks are all volunteers. There's no expense to the city, other than their volunteer help. So everything's appreciated. I know Mr. Ferrer has volunteered for 20 years at least. So, and we appreciate what they do. It's good for the community.
And I think, and I'll let our city attorney chime in on this, what we did is actually looked at both what our risk management requests us for liability insurance and so forth. That's why the change happened. In the past, what we've done as a city, we've covered that insurance cost for the chamber and any other organization. For example, I know Mr. Leo McKinney, he's part of the American Legion as well, and they have their event at the park once a year as well, and they're a small organization as well. So this is just our template, and we've already revised a lot of it. We've met with the chamber. Some things just didn't work, and we agreed, something that I was comfortable with, and so was our city attorney, and that's what we brought this to the council for approval. But it's something that we can modify depending on what the event would be and then bring it to the council. If there's a desire or a need for a waiver of fees, and that's something that we'll bring to the council for consideration.
Correct, and it's on the agenda here asking, you know, what they're asking the city to provide, you know, it's spelled out. So I think that being, because of the fact that it's a nonprofit, the chamber is really a nonprofit, they do community service, and the community enjoys the event. So, you know, I would ask the council to go ahead, and if there's nobody else in the audience, I will move forward for a motion to approve.
So, but I think the question that Ms. Lopez, Ms. Mendoza, no, sorry, she asked, out of the, that's not the answer you were trying to, you didn't get the answer that you wanted, right? Because I sure didn't,
well,
tell you.
It's I'm sorry, it's not that I'm expecting you to agree with me, because I'm just asking a question that I don't know. Like that contract you sent, or, yeah, it looked like it was not complete in some way, because there was a lot of blank spaces. My question was that in the future, that's gonna hurt, if that's what it's going to be, then it's gonna hurt a lot of people that use the park, like churches, services. I know the Catholic Church does an Easter play every year, or they have in the past, I don't know about this year, but there's other organizations that do things here in the park. And if that contract is gonna go for everybody, then I can see where, I don't know if they're gonna be able to meet all of those things, because it's pretty pricey. And I've never heard of it. I understand, you know, that the city, I mean, I don't want to get sued either. I mean, I understand totally that. But I was just thinking, is there something other than having to come to the council and wait to see if they'll waive it or not? I don't know. I think
it's here because of the whatever the program is going to be. For example, let's say that somebody's going to bring in a bunch of singers to the park, bands and rock bands and all that. Well, that's profit making. That's not for the community at all. So in that, we need to look at that, and whatever cost the city is going to incur, we need to pass it on to them, to those individuals. That's what I think this is here for. But being that it's all the churches and schools, and there's no way in the world that I would support charging them, you know, for the activity that you're going to provide for all the citizens of Orange Cove, you know. So
could that be written in the agreement somehow? If you're a church or a school, you're exempt.
Yeah.
Mayor, members of the council, the reason that this item was on the agenda is because of the type of event. This wasn't per se a city-sponsored event. When I learned of it,
right.
I talked with Mr. Escobar to talk about the risks and the liabilities associated with the city. We talked to our insurance authority about what type of instrument we need to have in place to be able to protect the city, and they agreed that some type of facility use street closure agreement would be necessary for the type and scale of this event. It's my understanding that a lot of the other events that occur at the park are more city-sponsored events rather than being sponsored by third parties. So anytime that something is a city-sponsored event, we wouldn't need to go through this type of agreement. The other thing that Mr. Escobar and I were just talking about, if I can share that, is perhaps bringing back a policy to the city council where we would have some sort of blanket fee waiver up to a certain dollar amount, and anything over a certain dollar amount you would consider on an individual basis. That's something that we can definitely work on as well. But these agreements are definitely tailored for the type of event that they are. The insurance requirements are run past the insurance authority to make sure that we have a sufficient amount based on the number of people that are going to be attending the event and the type and scale of event that it is. But this is for best practices and to ensure that the city is covered liability-wise. I would advise that this agreement be used for any third-party event that takes place that's open to the public.
I think it'd be good. That's the way the council can look at whatever the event's going to be, whether we support it or not. All right. So there's nobody in the audience? Being none, I'm going to ask for a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve the park and street use agreement and the resolution approving the fee waiver for the Orange Cove Area Chamber of Commerce's Lost and Trail event.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any further discussion? Being none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, June?
Yes, vote Lopez, Garcia, Pineda, and Cervantes, absent Silva.
Okay, thank you. Now we'll go to G, City Attorney's Report. Okay, Bianca?
Mayor, members of the council, this is an ordinance amending section 2.08 of the city's municipal code, which deals with the city manager. Chapter 2.08 of the city's code sets forth the duties and responsibilities of the city manager. It also sets forth an appointment and removal process. There are a number of provisions in the city's code as it stands that are antiquated. One of those things is that in the event that the city council desires to remove the city manager, we're required to go through an onerous hearing process. We're required to provide notice. We're not permitted to remove the city manager within 90 days of an election or within 90 days of an appointment of a new city council member. And the ordinance as it stands requires all of our city manager employment contracts to be consistent with the ordinance. As it stands, this ordinance doesn't represent best practices for hiring a city manager or employing a city manager. That should all be done via contract. And so this ordinance essentially cleans that up, and all authority would then be contractual.
Okay, council, any questions to our attorney concerning this matter right here? Questions? Okay, anybody in the audience wish to address this, please come forward.
Irene Albrano, Orange Cove resident. My only question is this retroactive, or will this be in the future? Or how does that affect the present situation?
In the event the ordinance is introduced, we would put it on the agenda for adoption at the next council meeting. If it's adopted, it would take effect 31 days, so it's not retroactive. It's 31 days after the date of adoption.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else in the audience? Okay, being none, we need a motion.
I make a motion.
Okay, we have a motion. Go ahead. Do we have a second?
I second.
Mayor, for a point of clarification,
yes.
The introduction of an ordinance requires a two-part motion. The first would be to waive further reading of the ordinance and read it by title only.
Okay.
And then the second would be a motion to introduce. So, Councilmember Pineda, would that be your motion?
Yes.
Okay, and I will go ahead and read the ordinance by title only, if that's okay with you, Mayor.
Okay.
So the ordinance is an ordinance of ordinance number 371, an ordinance of the City of Orange Cove amending section 2.08.050 compensation and repealing sections 2.08.080 removal procedure and 2.08.090 agreements on employment of chapter 2.08 city manager of title 2 administration and personnel of the Orange Cove Municipal Code.
Okay. Can we have motion second? Okay.
And so now it would be appropriate to vote on the motion to waive by further reading.
Okay, we'll make a motion to waive further reading. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion.
Okay, we have a second?
I second that.
We have a second. Any further discussion? Anybody in the audience? Being none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And the next motion would be the motion to introduce ordinance number 371.
The next action is to adopt ordinance 371?
To introduce motion.
To introduce? 271?
371.
371. Do I have a motion?
I second that.
Do we have a second? Any further discussion? Anybody in the audience? Being none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, now we have city manager's report.
Mayor, members of the council, just a couple things to report. City Hall will be closed next week, Tuesday, the 31st, and then also on Friday, April 3rd. So we will be closed on those days. A couple events of that we'll be having this week is we'll have the Farm Work Appreciation Day at the Community Center from 12 to 3 p.m. at the Community Center. So this will be a pretty nice event for councilmembers that would like to attend. See, we also have, of course, the fire department's fundraiser on Saturday as well, and I have your tickets for that as well. So before you leave today, if you can catch me.
We have also April 4th Easter egg hunt that we have provided by the events committee in collaboration with a couple local churches as well. And April 9th, we have the 12th annual real estate forecast that's put together by Fresno County, Fresno EDC, and it's a dinner event. So we'd like to find out from the council who'd like to attend. It's a pretty nice event for networking and so forth that we need to figure out who's going to be going for that evening. We'll have some staff members there that will be promoting the city. We'll have a booth with flyers and talk to real estate brokers, both commercial and industrial. We talk about the city, available land, and so forth. So we'll be there for staff. We have two free tickets that they're giving us, and so we'll be there at the event. Let's see what else. Just a couple things on the building and planning side of it. The building department is now working on a couple of housing authority projects that are still underway. We're now working on this project for Orchard Village, which is a pretty large project. During the construction of a sewer main that was being reconnected off of Anchor Avenue, I sent a message to staff, to the council members about that. The contractor hit a water main, a 4-inch water main that was not on our flats. We didn't know where it was coming from and where it was connected to, but we were able to get that repaired while it was hot. And guys were coming, there's a lot of water that's coming out of that small hole. So we were able to get that repaired. We have work that's being done at Century Builders. They're going to be starting an additional 6 homes there as well. I think the Cal Home and the Home Program that our finance director is working with them there is really helping them out, where they're now getting buyers to approved and so forth. We reduced our interest rate, and then also just what we're requiring, just whatever the minimum requirement is by the state. So we're trying to get people into homes. So that's moving along. Our public works department, they're going to be working on, of course, graffiti in the next couple of weeks. There's graffiti all over town, and so they'll be kind of targeting that. They're doing potholes as well. This week and next week, they'll be doing potholes on the southwest corner of town. So if you see them out there, that's what they'll be doing. And we're kind of now trying to strategize on and how we do it, so it works effectively on some of the issues that we have. So that's really all I have to report for now.
Great job, thank you. Council, any questions? Okay, being done. Now we'll go to Jay, closed session. Bianca?
City Council communication.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. Council, yeah, City Council Communications. Okay, we'll start with Mr. Garcia.
Well, I was able to attend the Chamber's Community Award Dinner. It was actually a nice event. I was able to participate too and assist Judy Case, and it was fun. I had a good time doing it, and just to see that, the awards that were given, to the various individuals in the community, and the hard work that they do. It's good to see that people are recognized for what they're doing. And the one that touched me the most was when a student came up and got her award. She's real young, and she's got emotional. One of 6 siblings that had gone to college and is receiving her degree. So that was really neat. But it was a very good event. Very, very, very good.
Yes, I agree. It was.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Josie. And
report.
Okay.
We were able, Councilwoman Josie and I, to attend the high school the academic awards. It was really nice to see all the hard work that those students put in and all the proud parents. And I also attended the Chambers Awards, and those were really nice to see.
Great. Yeah, and congratulations to, of course, to our high school, Orange Cove High School, for their help and everything, and Chamber of Commerce. Congratulations on this event.
There was that 5K run that we went to support. I couldn't run because I had a knee injury, but
5K run.
Could have walked it.
Can I
barely do stairs now.
Yes.
You know, going to that high school award ceremony, it always gets to me every year, because every year there's more than the year before. And it takes me back to before there was a new high school here, or the middle school, where the kids didn't have a chance to get what they have to, what they get today. If they were going to Reedley, and nothing against Reedley, but they wouldn't have the chance there that they have here. And it, I mean, it's out of sight. It's very heartwarming. I've been on the chamber, on the board now, for school board, for 15 years. And every year it gets better. The kids get better. They get smarter. I mean, it's great. It's really something. Just like the little kids, when they go into grammar, into a kindergarten, you know, I can walk in there into a classroom and watch them for 15 minutes, and I can tell you which ones were in daycare before they got to the kindergarten. There's a tremendous difference, you know, with those young brains. They soak up all that information. And it really does my heart good. In fact, it's hard to keep tears back on something like that, you know.
Great. Congratulations. Thank you very much for everything.
Mayor, I just want to remind you, Saturday we still have the motorcycle scooter town?
They changed the date. They moved it. They announced it earlier. They changed the date. They were going to come this Saturday. We got an email yesterday saying the date.
Oh, the penny of barbecue in the corner.
We got an email yesterday saying the date. The memorial wasn't ready yet.
So.
I do have one more important one. Saturday is our spring cleanup event.
This Saturday?
Yes, this Saturday. So, reminder, any residents, families, members from Orange Cove, we're going to have potentially two staff members, and Penny's disposal will be out here at same location at our industrial park, where we'll be taking trash all day. So this Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Friday's is the procession to the church, from the park to the famous doors. Friday the 3rd next week, the church procession.
By the procession?
5:30 in the afternoon.
5:30.
On that cleanup, for that cleanup day, is it one trip per household?
No.
No.
I believe we have two or three per household.
Okay.
Two or three what?
But, you know, when we get trailers that come in, we'd rather have them dump it there at the site versus taking it out to the orchard, so we won't turn people away.
Sounds great, Jeff. And we're announcing it through our phone system.
Yeah, phone system. And the residents have received flyers as well at home.
And that's fine. That's fine. That was just, thank you very much. Okay. So those are the communications of the City Council. Now we go to Jay, our closed session. Bianca?
Mayor, I'd like to address a closed session item before you break to.
Okay.
Ralph Pardo, 745 12th Street. Mayor, Council, and staff. This pertains to item 2, conference with real property negotiators, government code section 54956.8, property, industrial park, property corner of South and Center Street. Orange Cove desperately needs economic development. Hence, the city sought development of an economic development strategic plan. Based on the study, three areas were determined to require attention. The first, to attract, retain, and grow local businesses. The second, to develop local industry based on our strengths. And the third, to develop local tourism. To attract more retail businesses, a safe and clean environment is most needed. An expanded tow service will require precious land for storing acres of wrecked vehicles. This will do nothing to help create a clean environment. Rather, it will only add to the clutter we already have. A young lady once approached the City Council and told us just how much our town looked like a ghetto. We need to ask ourselves, is this what we want? Is this what we need? I think not. We need an industry that is based on agriculture and agricultural products. These are our strengths. We need industry that will provide much-needed jobs. If we allow a wrecking yard the size of 4 football fields into the industrial park, do you think any food processing plant would ever consider moving next door to a junkyard? I think not. Will a junkyard provide jobs? Again, I think not. Finally, we need to attract local tourism. While a food processing plant could attract local tourism, a junkyard will only help our town look more like a ghetto. When is the last time you took a tour of anything resembling a ghetto? Last time I entered such a place, I was in and out in a minute. Is this what we need? Is this what we want? Again, I think not. We can follow Clovis and create a resort-type town and prosper. Or we can copy Westside Fresno by adding more and bigger junkyards and very possibly add to our distress. Choice is yours to make. Thank you.
All right, Bianca.
Mayor, members of the council, the city council will now recess into closed session pursuant to item 1, conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, initiation of litigation pursuant to paragraph 4, subdivision D of section 54956.9, one case, with respect to item 2, conference with real property negotiators, government code section 54956.8, the property is the industrial park property at the corner of South and Center Street. The city negotiators are Sam Escobar, city manager, and myself. The negotiating parties are Alex Lopez for 2 acres and Matt Kuykendall for 2 acres under negotiation price and terms of payment. Item number 3, conference with legal counsel pursuant to government code section 54957B1, public employee performance evaluation, city manager. With respect to item number 4, conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation, pursuant to paragraph 2 of subdivision D of section 54956.9, one case. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, no other matters will be discussed.
Mayor, city council, my comment is again on item 2. I've been a long time, lifelong resident of Orange Cove, and that industrial park been there for a long time, and we've never seen nobody have any interest in it. So my personal thoughts is when you have an individual trying to invest in your city, you want to bring them in. I'm not sure when you're going to negotiate your prices, but obviously the council can negotiate the terms and conditions of the type of facilities you're going to have there, and I believe it's a towing business, so it's not going to be a junkyard. It's not going to be where you can go buy parts and dismantle cars. So I believe it's a good business. The gentleman is trying to expand in Orange Cove. He currently owns a smog shop. That's what it's for. So I don't see why not. And what Mr. Pardo was saying about other business coming in, there's 14 acres out there. So when you guys do your planning and development, you put people in place where they need to be. So you got plenty of room to work with. So I think this is a good investment to the city. We're bringing tax revenues. Cars they tow from Orange Cove brings money back into Orange Cove. They do lien sales there. It'll be a saleable car. So it's a very good business. And I talked to the gentleman. He plans to have other little businesses there too in his offices. So you can always have a construction company come right next door to him and stuff. So I think it's good, and I support this.
Irene Alvarado, Orange Cove resident. The question I have is, how many towing companies do we currently have? If I'm not mistaken, we have Anderson's Towing, Star Spangled or something. And I thought there might be a third one, plus
the current one?
Mr. Chapa, the towing company. Oh, and then Chapa. So that's just a question is, you know, do we need another towing company and for 2 acres at that? And how would it impact our other local companies? The other question I have is, that is prime land, industrial land here in the city. It is what you pass by coming in from the southeast entrance. That's our gateway right there. So my question is, if the city does approve these two, would they be the ones right in front of South Avenue, or would they be towards the back where you wouldn't necessarily see that as you're coming in from Southeast? because I know that does have a big impact. I work in Fresno, I know West Fresno, I know that I serve Fresno County, Clovis. So I see night and day. You know, one of the things we service West Fresno, there aren't a lot of opportunities for those families. You know, I think if the city has the opportunity to attract businesses that can provide jobs, I think that's a better approach. But again, you know, I expect that you guys will weigh the pros and cons. That's all I ask. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that, go ahead, ma'am.
I'm sorry. 57%, and so far I've heard, I think the key word here is resident of Orange Cove. Because when you're not a resident of Orange Cove, it's easy to support something and you don't live here. Mm-hmm. But any of you, would you like to have something like that next door to you? There's a lot of houses on Center Street. They just made some beautiful, I mean, remodeled the projects. I used to live in the projects. I'm from the projects. I said, wow, they really outdid themselves. Then you have homes on the other side of that parcel, or, you know, the zoning you're talking about right now. And I don't agree with having more, I do agree with them expanding, because yes, you know, anybody that has a small business, that's what you want to do, that's what you're shooting for. But if there's other property, you know, out of town maybe somewhere, I don't know, there's some right over by the clinic too, a big old lot right there, I don't know what that is zoned for, but that to me would be perfect. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I thought I saw a for sale sign on the one on Anchor, and there's some property there too. So I don't know what he's selling it for, but that is something that as a resident, I don't live there. I live way across town. But the people that do live there, I would not want a neighboring towing business next to my home. Especially, like I said, with all the projects, you know, with the beautification that they did there, and then this come in. Because when you talk about storing cars, I mean, with all due respect, you can say it's a garage, but it really does look like a junkyard. I mean, you can go out and look at Dale Anderson's, what he has out there, and there's been cars there for years that have been wrecked, and they just leave them there. So eventually it starts to look like a junkyard. You might not call it that, but that's what it looks like. And to me, that's an eyesore. And, you know, just really, really think about this. I'm not saying that, you know, I would, like I said, I'm all for small businesses growing, but maybe that is just not the right place for them. It should be maybe somewhere where there is no residential homes. I would love, I know I don't know what it's zoned for, but I would love to see a park there or something that the community can use. Even we need soccer fields, baseball fields. I mean, there's so many things that we need, but that is just not one of them. So I don't agree with these two people trying to buy some land there.
Okay, Bianca. Okay, we're going to go ahead and go into closed session. We'll go upstairs. For that way, right?
Oh, you want to do it here? This is the last one.
Huh?
There's no more items after this. We can do it here.
Okay.